I'm Jesse Robertson from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and this is Alaska Voices, a place for communities to connect through conversation in order to build a better tomorrow for Alaskans and the world.
Originally, I grew up in Gakona, Alaska.
Tyonek.
Egypt.
Idaho.
Grand Park.
St. Lawrence Island.
St. Paul.
And I'm here with my student.
My science buddy.
My teacher.
My homie.
I'm his daughter.
My name is Jim Brader, age 53, and my relationship to the partner is a colleague and friend.
And I'm Eric Stevens, age 49. Relationship to partner, I wrote down nemesis, coworker, and friend. So, covered all the bases there. Well, Jimmy, you know, you told me a while ago about your job interview that you had when you were in Wisconsin and you wanted to get a job, any job, and there was this weather service opportunity in Alaska. And you had been told to stand by the phone. This is how I remember you telling the story anyway.
I had just finished college and, you know, I thought I'd have to be able to decode the RAYOB data, which is the weather balloon, or the surface observations, which we had to do in school. And he said, oh, no, don't worry about all that. We'll teach you that stuff later. I just need to know if you can take care of yourself. I had some rice and beans, and I knew you could live on that if you had to, and I put that in my stuff that got mailed to St. Paul Island. I'd never been on an airplane, actually, till I went there.
Wow.
And St. Paul Island is really, it was like a Dorothy in Oz experience, because the plane landed, and they opened the door, and the first thing I noticed was, and that was the sound of the Beachmaster, the big bull seals.
Oh.
The first thing you heard was that, and then you caught the smell, and it smelled like a Wisconsin cow barn. And it's July 17th, and it's 53 degrees. And then when I was brought into the office, you know, the first thing I noticed was they were gathered around the TV watching Mr. Rogers. And that was my introduction to weather. And I was just thinking, I came from the University of Wisconsin where they developed Machitis computers and actually precursor to what we use in the Weather Service now.
They invented satellite meteorology there.
And here I am at a place where they watch Mr. Rogers. So when I was at St. Paul Island, the sea ice came down. The first winter I was there, it was pretty neat seeing all the jagged chunks of sea ice and climbing up one of the hills and being able to look to the north and it's just white. At that time, the sea ice would get to St. Paul about once every 2 or 3 years. And now it rarely gets there at all.
Yeah.
When you do weather forecasting, every year is different. I mean, there's years with lots of snow and years with no snow, years where it's warm, years where it's not. And it's sometimes hard to see a trend because we're living in the moment of all the ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
But the sea ice is something that is really dramatic. At that time in the late 80s, there were years where they couldn't get a sea lift into Prudhoe Bay. Mm-hmm. They couldn't get the barges in with supplies and modules to build stuff. And so that was a big deal, you know, being able to get the barge in. And they would call us a lot about that. Seemed like once you got to the mid-90s, usually there was open water offshore for at least a couple months. They could get a barge up there. Somewhere around 2000, well, you didn't worry about it. There always was open water.
Just a question of how long will the open water season be?
Yeah. I think it was 1 or 2 years ago the ice melted at the North Pole. This year, there were waves at Barrow on December 21st.
Whoa, really?
There were waves crashing on the beach. Normally, Barrow's frozen up by, I think, the beginning of November.
Okay, here's where I take over. In the weather business, the weather and climate are different. And weather is, it eventually becomes climate, but it's not quite the same thing. You're caught in the immediacy of the particular scenario of the day, and subtle long-term trends may not be noticeable when you've got your nose so close to the page there. I just went around and around in my head trying to find occasions where some climate signal would actually mean something to the line forecaster at the Weather Service. And I finally found it at Barrow in October. Normal in October in Barrow used to assume you were iced in and so you could get cold. Well, now it's no longer icy in October, and so your temperatures now, if you want to use normal temperature statistics as guidance, you're out of luck. You can't get cold with open ocean. You got to put a lid on that
right.
to prevent the moisture and the heat from fluxing up off the surface into the lower atmosphere there.
And then we have to deal with how do we keep people safe? There's avalanches in mountainous areas that can bury people, and those are dangerous. But other than that, coastal flooding is our most dangerous thing. That's where it damages the most property and potential to injure people. And the sea ice was the buffer that kept that from happening.
Shields up, Scotty.
You know, this year we didn't have a shield, essentially. And last week I put out a coastal flood warning. I've certainly never put one out in January or February or March, and I did, and there was coastal flooding.
Wow.
I mean, it's always been an issue. You know, every 10 years, Nome has a big coastal flood, and Kotzebue, you get some flooding every 5 years and that kind of thing. But now the potential is it can happen much more frequently because instead of a 2-month window, we've got a 4-month or 5-month window.
A true mark of professional expertise on an agency level will be if the National Weather Service can keep up with the changing underlying climate upon which daily weather is superimposed. If we can keep up with those broad-scale changes and not have to learn the hard way more often than necessary, that will be a real service to the public. And with that, I think we've probably summarized. I got the last word. This is your opportunity to say, no, you didn't.
No, that's it.
Alaska Voices builds bridges by creating a space where community members, friends, policymakers, and scientists can share stories and place-based knowledge. This project was developed in partnership with StoryCorps and was funded by the Alaska Climate Adaptation Science Center. Additional funding was provided by the University of Alaska Fairbanks Chancellor through a generous gift from the Bentley Family Trust. If you are interested in more conversations or information, please visit our website at alaskavoices.org.